Today's episode marks a pretty amazing milestone for all of us here on the team of Nonprofits Are Messy. This is our 200th episode. It's awesome, right? Over 2.5 million listeners from countries all around the world. Hold on, I think we have to talk about that for a second. Nonprofit leaders prove once again to me that they know how important it is to be the very best leaders and managers they can be, and they seek out resources just like this one. How incredibly inspiring I find that. You barely have time to pee during the day, and yet you read, you listen, and you invest in your skills and competencies. Wow. Just wow. So since the spring of 2017, I've had the privilege of cooking up ideas, finding guests, and engaging in some thoughtful, insightful, provocative, challenging, inspiring conversations and sharing them with all of you. Now, that said, I do not fly solo. I fly with Cindy Alves at the helm as our producer, with Crystal Clixaris as our project manager. And let's not forget my business partner, Scott Paley, who thought we should launch this podcast the same spring I published my book, and the same spring we launched an online membership site and community for board and staff leaders of small nonprofits, a little thing called the Nonprofit Leadership Lab that has, since it opened, supported over 20,000 leaders worldwide. Sure, why not, Scott? Now, in hindsight, sure, let's do a podcast was a bit naive given all that was going on that spring, but it just kind of worked. Like so many ideas Scott Paley brings to the table. I love pretty much everything about this podcast. You know how there are tasks on your calendar that deplete your energy for your job? Staring at over an overwhelming inbox, a meeting with unnecessary conflict, a meeting without clear goals or outcomes. I shouldn't go on, should I? Because we've all been there. But then there are these other things on your calendar that fuel you, put gas into your emotional tank. Those times when you're stretching, trying something new, getting creative, learning something new. This podcast has, for 7 years, filled my tank. Conversations with remarkable people who have enriched each of you as leaders. And I've learned so much too. Lessons from this podcast have enhanced my ability to advise clients, shape how I coach, what I write about, and reinforced for me the profound power of the nonprofit sector. And for all of this, what you have brought to listeners and to me, I am deeply grateful to every guest we have had through the years, from well-known authors to folks who march in the nonprofit trenches every day. All of us are endlessly grateful to you for sharing your stories. So I said I learned a lot. Well, I have a lot to learn. So how exactly did these 200 episodes enrich me? Well, that, my friends, is the question I will explore today, and I hope you'll come along for the ride. Greetings and welcome to Nonprofits Are Messy. I'm your host, Joan Gary, founder of the Nonprofit Leadership Lab, where we help smaller nonprofits to thrive. I'm also a strategic advisor for executive directors and boards of larger nonprofits. I'm a frequent keynote speaker, a blogger, and an author on all things leadership and management. You can learn more at joangary.com. I'm a woman with a mission to fuel the leadership of the nonprofit sector. My goal with each episode is to dig deep into an issue I know that nonprofit leaders are grappling with by finding just the right person to offer you advice and insights. Today, it turns out that the right person is me. So I took this stroll down memory lane and looked at the topics, the guests, what was going on in the world, and I reached these five big takeaways, and I'm going to share them with you right now. They're lessons. What did I learn? So here they are, the five big takeaways. Takeaway number one, I'm going to call, I told you so. Now, I promise you I am not wagging my fingers. I am a fierce advocate for innovation, trying new things, and investing in long-term sustainability And I started singing that song when we first launched in 2017. Lots of guests helped me to make that case. We introduced you to new ideas, new ways to diversify your revenue streams, how to build your power by bringing more people closer to your work. Way back then, we were bringing you guests to talk about the power of building strong boards that reflect the communities you serve, all the way back in 2017. And then 2020 happened, a global pandemic that took the lives of over 3 million people worldwide. And with that, the need for the work of nonprofits skyrocketed well beyond its capacity. And so many organizations tried new things because they had to. Telehealth, classes on Zoom, all kinds of innovations in art and music. And those boards that often had serious risk management tendencies saw their organizations do remarkable things when the risk of doing nothing far exceeded the risk of trying something different. I knew that you were all capable of this kind of innovation. You delivered. Yes, the need for your work skyrocketed well beyond your capacity, and you stretched because the need was so acute. In the darkest of times, you leaned in and provided the light in the darkness. I told you in 2017 that you could do this, that you could innovate, you could stretch, you could try new things. And you did. Here's lesson number two. Only an organization that is invested in building a culture of belonging can truly thrive. The pandemic unearthed inequities of every imaginable kind. And the murder of George Floyd ignited a racial reckoning, and diversity, equity, and inclusion took center stage. We unearthed profound flaws in organizational cultures, board composition, how we fundraise. I felt so privileged to bring you rich conversations during that time and continue to provide those conversations that give you the opportunity to dig deeper, to see that DEI work is fundamentally about seeing and valuing every human. It's fundamentally about creating a true sense of belonging. During this time, I saw an unflattering, and that's a kind word. Problematic is probably a better word, and even that might be kind. A problematic view of some nonprofit leadership, especially at the board level. Search committees who actually wanted it in the contract with search firms that at least one finalist must be diverse. Oh my gosh. Since the very beginning, we brought guests who offered such insight that enriched my own journey. Insights that led me to really understand the value of sharing my own failures, to recognize that my whiteness, my power, my privilege, they all cover my identity as an LGBT person. A guest enriched me by explaining to me that microaggressions are neither micro nor aggressions, and that every human deserves to be seen, valued, and feel this true sense of belonging. Takeaway number three, nonprofits have a lot to learn from private sector experts. So this was an interesting one for me and hit home as well. I spent 14 years in the private sector and arrived as a seasoned manager who understood finances, performance reviews, and many of the important systems and processes that nonprofits often struggle with. During the last 7 years, I have worked to bring guests from the private sector to share actionable ideas and insights on both leadership and management. And I believe that those insights have been so valuable to those who listen. A big aha for me was not that these conversations were valuable, but rather how valuable our guests found it to be in your virtual company, how much it fueled them to support your work. We don't ask them often enough. That's a big lesson for me. So many guests said that during our podcasts and afterward, right? For example, it took us a year or more to book Dan Goleman, the person who put emotional intelligence on the map. And afterward, he said, you know, I have a new book coming out this coming year, and I really think nonprofit leaders could benefit from it. I wonder if you might have me back as a guest. Seriously. I said yes. Takeaway number four, soft skills and competencies are not fixed. I know that I have said this on numerous occasions. Things like, oh, that person just can't read a room, or that person just not very empathetic. And when I say those things, or when I used to say those things, I saw the state of that person as fixed. This person cannot read a room. Done. That's just who they are. Well, we had guests all through the last 7 years talking about these soft skills and competencies, because I think we far too often focus on expertise and experience and very specific skills when we think about identifying nonprofit leaders. I think we miss competencies and attributes. And so I often bring on guests to focus on those things, right? Competencies and attributes, because I want them to be very top of mind for you. Well, many of these guests have taught me that I am wrong, not about how important competencies and attributes are, but about the thought that I had that these were fixed. You see, I learned that you can invest in team members who are not where they need to be on these softer and vital skills and competencies and attributes, and help them to build and exercise those muscles. And numerous episodes that we did amplified that message for me big time. And the fifth takeaway I have is there's no correlation between the notoriety of the guest and the number of people who listen. When Adam Grant or Jim Collins joins Nonprofits Are Messy as a guest, it is a big deal, full stop. That said, the guests in our most popular episodes are not the Adam Grants. They're not the Jim Collins. And I could go on. They're folks like you, standing in your shoes, grappling with the same issues you are. What should a day in the life of a board chair actually look like? What is it like to run a nonprofit if you are the only paid staff member? How do you move a dedicated volunteer up the ladder of leadership? We tackled all of these things. Practical and accessible stories that had clear lessons and advice. So, my five takeaways: you are totally capable of innovation, aka, I told you so. Lesson number two: only an organization that has invested in building a culture of belonging can thrive. Lesson number three, nonprofits have a lot to learn from private sector experts, and they want to share their expertise with the people who are doing the hardest work there is. Number four, soft competencies and attributes are not fixed. You can invest in building and exercising those muscles for yourself and for those around you. And lesson five, no correlation between the notoriety of the guest and listenership. Or perhaps I should just say, the real stars are you. As I hear myself walk through these lessons, I think to myself, no wonder I find hosting a podcast so fueling. I get to listen to such amazing people who enrich my thinking, and I toss the conversation in front of the microphone in the hopes that you too are enriched. How lucky am I? And I hope to get luckier still as I move in the direction of the next 200 episodes. Some of the things that are on my mind that you'll hear about as we move towards those 200 episodes. Well, I don't know, how to capitalize on fundraising in an election year. No, I am not out of my mind. You can, and you must. You'll hear from me more often on how to capture the imagination of board members and move them from asking, what could go wrong, to asking, Let's imagine what's possible. Your entire organizations did that in 2020, and you made miracles happen. It doesn't have to be a crisis to make miracles. There's something I've been thinking a lot about. Maybe it's time for us to actually really talk about the distinction between public education, advocacy, and lobbying. I think we mix these things up. I think we're afraid that lobbying and advocacy are too close. And data from an upcoming guest will tell you a rather sobering statistic, which is that nonprofits are doing less advocacy than they used to. That's something to tease out, isn't it? There are topics we all need to know more about. Unions. More and more nonprofits are starting unions. What are the pros? What are the cons? What's the culture that existed that led the organization to unionize? I'm intrigued by this. I'm intrigued by celebrities. I'm not really generally intrigued by celebrities. What I'm intrigued about is celebrity engagement in the work of an organization. When I was at GLAAD, we had an event. It was called the Media Awards, like the NAACP Image Awards, and we had many celebrities who came to this event and participated. And it was great. It was remarkable. I realized how tall and skinny most celebrities are, amplifying just how short I am. But do you put a celebrity on your board? How do you use a celebrity to their best advantage? I'm really noodling about that and trying to find just the right person for that conversation. And then I just want to just really put it out there is I want you to know that I'm going to make sure that there are no rest stops on the DEI journey. So the other day, like this week, I received an email from a podcast subscriber about my interview with Sika Dajo. Sika is the head of DEI for the International Rescue Committee, the IRC. She has created a worldwide DEI program. Her story is amazing. In countries all around the world where the IRC has a footprint. I'm pretty sure that this listener did not actually hear Sika speak, but he did respond quickly to the email that promoted the podcast and said this, you know, you could have skipped the DEI stuff. No one is kicking butt and setting standards with DEI. You might lose more than you can gain by talking about this subject. I was happy that the listener wrote that because I think it's important for me to hear it and be reminded that there are many people who feel the way this listener does. And you can rest assured that I responded to this person and I respond to emails like this because it actually fuels my interest in doing my part to change their mindset. And that's exciting me too. And as I percolate about this podcast, I just feel so privileged to have a platform like this where honestly, we can all learn together. It's really quite something. I'm excited about the path forward and the lineup of guests we already have booked well into the year. And as I think I just spoke about, I'm on a mission to be thoughtful about topics and experts that will support you in all kinds of ways. For those of you who have listened to me pretty regularly while you're gardening, while you're thinking about going on the elliptical, while you're driving somewhere, you might know that when I craft discussion guides for podcasts, I love to ask guests if the people in their lives who knew them as kids would be surprised about who they became, would be surprised about the professional path they took. I find this question to be often quite revealing, and it really helps make sense of people and their journeys. And I think that it gives listeners like you pause about your own journey. What led you to the work you do? I realize no one ever asked me that question. I guess because I'm the host, right? So here's something my family would tell folks about me when I was quite little, maybe at the age of 5, I could turn anything into a microphone. I would stand on picnic tables during summer family gatherings. I would turn a stick into a microphone and I would sing at the top of my lungs. Sometimes I would pretend I was the MC, the host of the gathering, and I would bring my pretend microphone to one of my 27 first cousins. Yes, I have 27 first cousins, or an aunt, and I would ask them, "Do you want to be on my show?" I'm told that it was very hard to say no to me. And so here we are, over 60 years later. It's a podcast instead of a picnic table, and a Shure 7 microphone instead of a stick. What I didn't know then that I learned over time is that our world needs serious repair. And at some point, I connected those dots. Actually, I think it was the moment my wife and I decided we wanted to have a family. We wanted the world to be better for them. And so here I am today, using my platform and my microphone to help the helpers, helpers like you. I am so inspired by all of you. And to support you through this particular podcast is nothing short of a gift to me. So thank you. It will be a joy and a privilege to continue to learn with you as we move forward. Thank you so much for investing in your own learning through my podcast. And as always, thank you for the work you do to repair the world in ways large and small. Take good care.
The Nonprofit Leadership Lab is led by Joan Gary and is the world's best online community for leaders of small nonprofits. Learn how to raise more money, build the board of your dreams, grow a large audience of supporters, and so much more. To learn more and request an invitation to become a member, please go to nonprofitleadershiplab.com/podcast. That's nonprofitleadershiplab.com/podcast.
Thanks so much for spending time with me today. I hope you found the conversation valuable as you navigate the messy world of nonprofits. Check out all my other resources at joangary.com. Hope you find them helpful too. Lastly, thank you for the work you do to repair the world in ways large and small. I'll see you next time.